At ease, troops. Welcome to another episode of Panels of War, the podcast that covers war comics on all fronts. I'm your host, Josh Johnson, and this is episode 2 of Panels of War. Thank you for listening. And yeah, so we are going to be checking out issue number 2 of War Stories. And this is going to be part 2 of Castles in the Sky. Yeah, so we're just going to dive right into it. So, War Stories, number 2, from Avatar Pressing. Credits on this are going to be written by Garth Ennis. The interior art is done by Keith Burns, while the cover art was done by Matt Martin. Now, he did the covers and the interior arts on issue 1, and his work is, I think, is really good in these, on this series so far. But yeah, but the interiors this time are done by Keith Burns. The color is by Digicore Studios. Lettering is by Kurt Hathaway, and editor-in-chief is by William Christensen. And released in 2014 by Avatar Press. So yeah, so the cover shows a B-17 bomber being strafed and sustaining damage to its second engine on its left side by 2 Focke-Wulf 190s, which was the standard, or one of the standard fighters that used by the German Luftwaffe. And one of the Focke-Wulfs appears to have sustained damage to itself because it's also smoking from its rotor. So the cover is really stellar. Again, you can tell, yeah, it's done by Matt Martin, and it looks incredible. It's a really, really stellar cover. It also had a couple variant covers, much like the first issue that had a variant with Pinup Girl on it. This one here shows a scantily clad woman. She's laying on her stomach with her legs up in the air. She's wearing red stockings in the shape of a V, and she has a heart around her. She's turning around and giving the peace sign. And this is the Pinup Girl that's on the side of Valentine's Day, which was the main character, Leonard Whitmore. He was a waist gunner in the Valentine's Day B-17 bomber in issue 1. However, that bomber was destroyed in an accident along the runway. So this was the Pinup Girl on the side, which I do find funny how this is the variant cover for issue 2, but Valentine's Day was destroyed in issue 1, whereas the variant cover for issue 1 was for the Buffalo Gal, which is the bomber that's going to be in issue number 2. So I wonder if they accidentally mixed them up or what. It's kind of funny that they're switched. But I do like the Valentine's Day cover. And then we also have another wraparound cover, much like the first one had. And this is another one you could tell is done by Matt Martin. This one here is has 2 B-17 bombers on, and the perspective is sort of from the rear end of the second bomber as it's being attacked by 2, I'm assuming, Junker JU-188s. They're a medium bomber, but I guess that at this point the Luftwaffe is using them to attack, to take on any Allied bombers, I guess. And they are basically successful because the bomber in the background has its engine shot out and it's smoking, and the bomber that we are seeing the perspective from is also having explosions go off on it from the damage. So pretty awesome wraparound cover again. Again, great art, great covers by Matt Martin. So our story begins with a squadron of B-17 bombers on their way to a mission. And here we have our main character, Leonard Whitmore. He's provided in their narration, saying how, yeah, the ship that he's on now is called the Buffalo Gal, and that he's basically with an inexperienced crew just like him, because, like I said, at the end of issue 1, there was a freak accident sort of along the runway as they were going out for their first mission, where the bomber that was in, the lead position, something happened with the bombs and it exploded, and it basically caused a sort of a chain reaction along the runway and blew up several bombers, including Valentine's Day, which Whitmore was a member of, and basically killed all the crews, and he's the only one that was left in his crew that survived. And he was in the hospital, so they patched him up and threw him in with a crew that needed a waste gunner, because that's his position. So they're saying that this is their fourth trip. So far, the first three have been pretty much milk runs, you know, pretty easy missions. He says that the first one they hit in Toulouse in France, which that's probably not how you pronounce it at all, because the French language is kind of weird, but that's how I read it. They said they had a moderate amount of flak. They had another bombing mission on Hamburg and had no resistance at all. And then had another mission over Brest where they had... There were reports of Messerschmitts, which was the... That's another fighter used by the Luftwaffe. But apparently the American fighter escorts had scared them off, so they didn't encounter any resistance on that. So the first three missions that they've had have been pretty simple, so they're on their fourth one now. Again, you can tell that they're up pretty high because of the equipment that they have on. We see Whitmore, he has the oxygen mask on and has like the furry coats and the gloves on, because being at what most bombers are anywhere from about 20 to 30,000 feet, depending on the bomber that they're flying in, when they're, you know, at 20,000 plus feet, there's no oxygen up there, and it's like 40 degrees below zero or something like that, so they need to make sure they have oxygen and they're dressed extremely warm, otherwise they won't be able to survive. And as Leonard's looking out for enemy aircraft, he sees his first B-17 go down. And I'm assuming that's from flak fire. But they return to base then. I guess they're successful in that mission, but that's just the first one where he actually saw one of his own get shot down. And, you know, as he's sort of milling around, and he basically says how he is not trying to get close to his crewmates because of what happens with Valentine's Day, where he sort of got to know all the other guys in his crew, and they all ended up dying before they can even do anything. So these guys, he's not even really getting to know. He's sort of off by himself, away from the rest of the crew, and he's basically wondering if, you know, his first mission when he's going out, this horrible accident happens, like, and then after that, like, the missions that he does go on have been pretty simple for the most part. Again, aside from the one bomber that they lost, it's been a pretty easy mission. So he's wondering if this is the worst that's going to get for him, or if it's just holding off and it's going to get worse from there. And then he recounts that that's when they met the enemy fighters. So they're on the next mission. And obviously that they say that they lost their fighter cover, either they have not met at the correct rendezvous point or something, because they have no protection, and then they're getting attacked by a squadron of Focke-Wulf 190s, again, which is one of the standard German fighters. They come in using the sun as cover, because, like, there's, you know, reports, oh, the enemy fighter's incoming, but they can't really see him. That's because they're coming in basically in front of the sun. Now, that's a very smart tactic, because with the brightness of the sun, the gunners on the bombers can't see. You know, they have to shield their eye. They can't see, so you're not going to get much resistance at all. So that's a smart tactic. So they come in from about, 12 o'clock high, and they just unload the B-17s, and they just wreck them. And the aerial combat art's pretty good on this, too. And you can definitely tell that they are Focke-Wulfs. And they just blow through the B-17s. You see that Major Moss, who I'm assuming he's like the lead bomber, and that's like the captain of that bomber, they got hit pretty bad. Another bomber called the Farmer's Daughter is going down, and you can see that the B-17s are just starting to smoke. You see Whitmore, he's shooting and trying to hit, you know, the enemy fighters, but you could tell that, and I'm sure even in real life, that must have been extremely tough for those gunners to have to try to shoot down enemy fighters. Like, that cannot be easy at all to do. And then we see that the German fighters, they hit a B-17 pretty good. And this is, obviously, you can tell this is before they've reached their target, because the bullets basically trip off the bombs in the bomb bay, and this B-17 just explodes in midair. And it's a tremendous explosion, and it even basically destroys the B-17 next to it also. So they lose two bombers right there. And the art on this splash page is really cool too. It's, again, it's a terrible thing to have it in story, but the art is pretty good on this. And then we see Whitmore, and with him, the plexiglass is shot out around him, and he's, you know, looking and shooting and noticing that he's not seeing any shoots of guys bailing out of the shot down bombers. So pretty much one of those bombers goes down, that's 10 men in there if you don't see anyone bail out. After that, then they realize that the Krauts are gone, that they either ran out of fuel, ammo. The B-17s continue on with their mission, and they go and they drop their bombs. We don't see that, but that's just what the narration says. And we get an interior shot of the plane where, with Whitmore, you know, he has his hand on his head, and he's definitely a little in shock about all this, because that's pretty much the first time they've come across any enemy fighters. In the inside, you can see, yeah, the glass around Whitmore's gun is shot out, and there's bullet casings all around. There's holes in the B-17. There's a lot of carnage going on in that plane. But they drop their bombs, and they end up heading home. Then we cut to, looks like, a house back in England. And the narration here is basically from the instructions for American servicemen in Britain. And it says, I was reading word for word, if you are invited into a British home and the host exhorts you to eat up, there's plenty on the table, go easy. It may be the family's rations for the week spread out to show their hospitality. Because in the first issue, we see Leonard Witt reading that manual. And I guess this is one of the things he read, because now he is at the Paula's house. Now, Paula was the woman who he met outside the air base. She and her son were out there. Well, her son, Ronnie, was waiting outside for her to get done working, because she works in the kitchen on the army base. And they sort of... Oh, she invited him over for tea. So this is him coming over and having tea and some sort of pastry, and they're sitting at the table. Paula, Ronnie, Leonard, and then Paula's friend, Joyce. So they're just going and chatting, and Leonard is, you know, following the advice he read in the rule book, saying that he doesn't want any more food, that he's full, which that's nice of him to follow the rules. So I'm sure some guys probably didn't. They were probably, I'm just going to try to eat as much as I can. I'm not saying that they did, or a lot of them did, but I'm sure there were a couple. And Ronnie is being the little brat that he was in the first issue, pouting and, you know, being a jerk. While Paula and Joyce are cleaning up in the kitchen, they're talking about, obviously, Joyce can kind of tell that Paula has a little thing for Leonard, and she's going to leave so they can have some time together by themselves, except for, well, even though Ronnie's still there, which Paula then tries to get Ronnie to thank Leonard for. So basically, in issue one, Ronnie was sitting outside, yeah, waiting for his mother, who worked in the kitchen, but army regulations forbade unauthorized personnel in the base, so Ronnie couldn't go inside. He had to sit outside in the cold. So I guess Leonard tried to be nice, and he basically, as a bribe, gave a bottle of liquor to one of the guards, and then Ronnie can go and wait in the guard room instead of having to sit outside. So he tried to be nice to him, but of course Ronnie, being the little jerk that he is, you know, ungrateful, and he said doesn't want anything to do, doesn't want anything from Americans, because his father, Ronnie's father, when he was a soldier in the British Army, was killed. So he has developed this complex where British soldiers are the best and anybody else is no good, I guess, because don't know if the British were fighting by themselves or something like that. And even Leonard, I guess, is sort of onto this because he asks Paula if she's okay, like, with all the Americans being there. I'm wondering if she sort of feels the same way that Ronnie does, even though it's kind of obvious she doesn't feel the same way. But she even says that, you know, the British, by 1940, like middle of 1940, British were by themselves, and it took till the next year for the Russians and then the Americans to join up. And saying how even with the three nations allied together, and they still haven't beaten the Germans, and this is 1944, the British never would be able to do it by themselves. So obviously she's glad to have the Americans there helping, even though, you know, she lost, you know, her husband. And then they're chatting a bit, you know, between themselves again, talking about, like, she's sort of, or he's learning a little bit of, you know, British talk, like, that flick is their word for movies or the cinema. And how she says that, you know, you Americans use nice, where over here you say swell. So Leonard tries to use the British slang. Is like, oh, gee, you got a real swell smile there, ma'am. And it's a nice little fun, you know, banter between them. That's kind of fun. You can see they're sort of flirting a bit with each other. And so then Leonard makes a little comment where the British don't know how to make good coffee, but Americans don't know how to make good tea. He says it's an even trade. Then he goes and he smells the coffee, I guess, or maybe it is the tea. Oh, maybe I'm reading this wrong. The first time I read it, I thought he smelled the coffee and thought, oh, this is pretty bad. Like, saying, oh, no, like, even, like, the worst American tea isn't as bad as the best British coffee. But maybe it's the British tea is so good. I don't know, to be honest. It's a good joke, but maybe I just didn't completely get it. Anyways, on to the next page, and Leonard's on his next mission, which is over Frankfurt. Now, there are several bombing campaigns over, you know, or of Frankfurt. Probably the most, not the, probably the, I don't know, the one that had, I guess, had the most impact, not destruction-wise, but maybe, I don't know, cultural-wise. And this might be because the first issue, like, when he arrived, it was January of 44. So this might have been the mission he was on, but what I found was the bombing of Frankfurt on January 29th and 30th of 1944 killed the Hessian princess Marie Alexander. This sort of has some roots, like Hesse. Like, Hessian is basically what the Germans were known as, but before it was known as Germany, if that makes sense. I guess back, because before it was known as, like, the Holy Roman Empire, like, way back in, like, even up to, like, early 1800s, like in the days of Napoleon. But I guess she had some sort of royalty ties to that linked all the way back till then or something. So she was with a group of women that was in a basement of a house, like, taking shelter. But then the weight of the destruction, like, after that building was bombed, I guess the weight collapse and kill everyone in there. But so that's probably, and that, so that, and that may have been this mission. I don't know, there's no date given, but it sort of lines up, you know, the end of January where the first issue began, the start of January. But anyways, so yeah, they're on their mission to Frankfurt. They had a wave of P-51 Mustangs come in to clear out any fighters in the area beforehand, and on their way they were getting a reinforced escort of two squadrons of P-47 Mustangs. And as then you see the one group is coming in at a normal, like, formation, whereas the second group is coming in sort of in a, like, a diving formation. Like, they're dropping in, like, you know, one at a time. And, you know, one of the gunners mentions it, and they're like, well, why are they coming at a completely different formation? And then we see that second squadron is not P-47s, but it is a squadron of what looks like this. These look like Messerschmitts, which is cool. I do kind of like how in story how, you know, the first mission that was over, what was it? I forget where they said it was at. But the mission before that, they were attacked by Focke-Wulfs, whereas this one, they get attacked by Messerschmitts. Because I'm sure that happened in real life, where different areas had different fighters, so that's kind of cool. And it's cool to see Keith Burns draw some Messerschmitts, because again, the art's pretty good on these strafing runs. I do like how one of the bombers, you know, how all the bombers, how the crew, basically, they do like the pinups on the side and give it a name. One of the bombers here on this big page has, it looks like the face of like a whale or a shark or something, and the name is Flak Eater. So I like that one. That was my favorite so far. But anyway, so these Messerschmitts are coming in, and they are, you know, they're tearing up this group of B-17s. Whitmore and his the opposite waist gunner, or they're going and shooting, you know, trying to shoot down what they can as the, you know, the Luftwaffe is going in between the formation. There's noting all their bombers that are getting shot down and not seeing any chutes coming out. And then Leonard is shooting at a fighter and he destroys it, only to realize that it was a P-51 Mustang that was chasing down a Messerschmitt through the formation. And Leonard's, you know, horrified because, yeah, he shot down his own fighter. I mean, he didn't know, and he says how that pilot should have known and not fly in between the formations, which makes sense. You know, you stick to the outside, don't cut through, because the gunners and the bombers will be shooting at anything that passes through. And then the Buffalo Gal is bared down on by what looks like a Junker JU-188. Now, I couldn't, it doesn't stay in the story that that's what it is, but so by when I looked on a list of aircraft, and this is like a list of German aircraft, and this is what I found. Yeah, it was a medium bomber, but I guess at this point they were kind of using whatever they could to fight off the Allied bombers. And you can sort of tell that this is a 188, because it has a big long nose cannon. And it's the only one I found that had that, so I'm assuming that's what it is. But obviously that cannon is damaging, because it flies over the Buffalo Gal and just completely tears through it. And Whitmore, he, you know, ducks down and tries to get whatever cover he can. And he's yelling, and he turns around, and then he sees the damage that 188 did. And this is a really, really brutal page. But then you see the damage, and you see the interior of the B-17 where Whitmore was at, was standing, and the bullets just went through that entire area, and the waist gunner opposite of Whitmore, it just torn to shreds. His whole right side was like ripped off. His right arm is all the way on the opposite side of his gun. His legs, both of his legs are, you know, they've been blown off and they're sitting underneath him. The ball turret is shattered and there's holes all over the place and there's blood everywhere. It is, the art is great, but it is extremely brutal. And then we see Whitmore's reaction, and he just has his hand just up over his eyes, and he can't even look. And then the Luftwaffe, they pull out again, and then they leave them be as the B-17s continue on. Majority of them have smoke coming out of their engines. You know, they tighten their formations, and then they go and they drop their bombs. And that was then they return home, and you know, again they're coming home mostly all of them damaged. And once they're at home, you see, well, Leonard gets out of the plane, and then we hear some ground crew talking to the pilot, basically saying how they don't know how they're going to get the guy who's in the ball turret out, because the bullets from that 188, it went through, and I guess it went through the top of the ball, and there are no exit holes. So basically the balls that went through the top of it just went in there and bounced around. And so I guess they don't show up, but they're talking about how the gunner in there basically, there's nothing left of him because he just got torn apart by the bullets. And as they're standing on the runway, you see the British bombers, the Lancasters, going out. A little more narration distinguishes the difference between, you know, the American Air Force and the RAF. How while the Americans, they went during the day and had fighter cover, and they flew in formations. The British, they bombed at night, and they didn't have any fighter protection. And how they didn't go in formation. They just, once they got up, you went to your target, bombed, and came back. Yeah, so then they're watching the British bombers take off. And he's saying about how even though, like, for the British always saw it as a suicide mission for the Americans to bomb during the day, but Whitmore thinks that it's just as bad, there's no difference, because they don't have any fire protection or anything like that. But so he walks by the remaining crew of his bomber. Again, like I said, he's pretty much staying separate from everybody else. He's not being around his crew. He doesn't want to get to know them because of what happened last time. You know, he was pals with his crew, but they all end up dying. So these guys, he's not even getting to know. It's just he's going up there doing his job at being the gunner, and then getting back, and that's it. You know, he doesn't really collaborate with them too much. And then, one of the majors is talking with the pilot and saying how, even though they lost a lot of, you know, bombers, like I said, they lost 7 whole planes, so that's 10 in each group there, so that's 70, plus all the other wounded that happens throughout all the other remaining aircrafts, much like the 2 that they lost in the Buffalo Gal. But despite all that, they did, you know, 10 times more damage to the Germans. And the last page is Leonard. He's pretty much walking off the flight line. And as he looks over, he's a ground crew member smoking a cigarette and whistling. And he has a hose and he's washing out the blood. All the blood from the ball turret. Because they're going in there, they're going to clean it out, patch it up, and then send that bomber right back out for another mission. So, yeah, and that's the end of issue 2. Yeah, so, another pretty good issue. There's more action in this one than the first one. Like I said, the first one, there was only, like, 1 page of action, and that wasn't even, like, Whitmore wasn't even involved in that. He was just arrived at base, and then you see the bomber's base that, like, returning while he was meeting his crew. So we didn't even really see much action in the first one. There's a lot in this one, and it looks really badass, and there's the art is pretty good now. The art, they said the interiors last time were done by Matt Martin, this time it's done by Keith Burns. I do say I prefer Martin's art a little more. It just feels a little more realistic, and I think maybe it's his inking style too, like the Burns's lines that, like, a lot of them seem kind of thin. I mean, it's not bad. It's still good. It's just not as good. Like I said, I prefer Martin's art. All the planes look pretty cool. I like how you get to see all different kinds of aircraft drawn. You know, we get about 6 different aircraft drawn in this one. But I think Martin's a little better at drawing people. Like, the way Burns draws faces, it's a little weird to me. But overall, the art's really good. Like I said, I think the standout page to me is the page of Whitmore turning around and seeing all the carnage that the strafing run from that Junker Ju-188 did to the interior inside the plane, and we see the other waste gunner just shot to shreds, and there's blood all over the place, holes all over the B-17. You know, the 50 cal is shattered, bullet casings all over the place, the ball turrets destroyed. Like, there's a lot of detail in that, so that's probably my standout page. But yeah, overall, yeah, the art's pretty solid. Yeah, story wise, like I said, like I do like seeing the combat, the aerial combat, you know, from Leonard's point of view. We actually get to see him reacting and, you know, in action, which I think is cool. And you can tell that, you know, our first three missions were pretty simple, but after that it gets tougher. And now you can definitely see that he is having trouble, like, and now he's getting overwhelmed, especially, you know, seeing the guy next to him cut to shreds, you know, a Baltar full of blood, because that's all that's left of the guy that's in there. Plus, he also shot down an American fighter by accident, even though that's sort of the pilot's fault. He still did it, so you can tell it's like all the combat is starting to affect him. The only thing I do wish we could have seen a little more of with the crew, like, because we don't know anything. We don't know anybody else's name at all. Nothing. I mean, it makes sense. It does make sense story wise because Leonard himself is not worried about, you know, making pals with, you know, the other crew members. So he's just doing his job. He's not getting to know them. But for us, it takes a little bit out for the reader because, you know, you don't really get to know or really care about him. Like even like the gunner that got killed, that was on the other side of him. Even if he would have said just a couple things like during the flight, you know, even if Leonard doesn't even like respond to him, you know, that way we could have at least known a little bit about him and cared a little bit when he got, you know, torn up. But I understand why. The other thing I do like Leonard and Paula's sort of, you know, relationship. How, you know, she's, you know, being nice to him, but he's coming over there. And they're, you know, having tea and talking and stuff and being flirty. So I do like them. I'm sure they'll probably end up getting together for, maybe not, who knows, in issue 3. But when we don't know how this is going to end up, you know, Leonard might get shot or captured or killed, like, who knows. Ronnie is still annoying. I don't like him. He's a little brat. I don't like him at all. But yeah, so for the most, that's pretty much it from this issue. Pretty solid issue. We get more action than the first one, but not as much, you know, character development as the first one. But it's a good, as I said, it's a good 1-2, good, a good first two issues. So if I would have to rank this, I would give this the rank of Colonel, which is like an 8 out of 10. But so my ranking, the ranking system I decided to use from 0 to 10 out of 10, I just decided just to use the real world rankings, you know, in the military. So, you know, 0 out of 10 would be a recruit, 1 out of 10 would be a private, 5 out of 10 would be a lieutenant, 10 out of 10 would be a supreme commander. So I'm going to give us an 8 out of 10. So with that ranking system in mind, it comes out to be the rank of Colonel. So yeah, so that's pretty much it for issue number 2 of War Stories. The next episode is going to be, you know, part 3, issue 3 of this story, part 3 of Castles in the Sky. I'm definitely anxious to see how this the story arc finishes up. So yeah, so that's going to be next episode. Yeah, with that, so thank you for listening, everybody. If you haven't already, please like the podcast Facebook page, which is just Panels of War Podcast. That's where you can get sort of the updates for this. If you want to leave any feedback or if you want to give any tips or any recommendations, you can always email me at panelsofwar@gmail.com. Yeah, let me know if, you know, give me some feedback if you guys are enjoying it, or if you have any tips that I can improve on. Like, this is only like the second ever episode that I've done on my own. And if anyone has any tips for me, you know, to improve a little bit, please let me know. And yeah, so that's about it. So yeah, next episode we'll be doing issue 3 of War Stories. So yeah, so thank you everybody for listening. And with that, dismissed.